Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. Folks, today you're connected more than ever. Whether you like it or not, you are, and you know that. I feel that too. Whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renaissance understands that, and they understand how you bank, and they offer the mobile banking services that you need. Renaissance also knows that sometimes, though, you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why they have more than 190 convenient locations. We happen to be inside one throughout the South, ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. Now we turn to Jeff Brown. Jeff is a senior business advisor with Smith & Howard. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about Smith & Howard.
Well, I'm, as you said, a senior business advisor. Been in the IT business now for close to 40 years. The last 18 in the security space, helping organizations understand and what they need to do and helping them implement that. Smith & Howard is a nationally recognized CPA accounting and advisory firm. Been around Atlanta serving customers for over 50 years. So, again, with that, I focus specifically in the risk advisory role, which is a new role for Smith & Howard that they established a couple of years ago. Really, their core focus, as you'd expect to be, is in the accounting, in the CPA world, and the tax aspects, and which is a busy time right now.
Sure.
And the what's happening out there in the industry today and actually everywhere is a lot of concerns around security, and they wanted to establish and have a complementary services that also dealt with the risks around how their organizations protect their information.
You can't really pick up the newspaper or I guess people don't pick up the newspaper anymore. I just dated myself, Jeff, but click on their smartphone and look at the news without seeing security issues and security breaches. So it makes a lot of sense that a firm that's on top of trying to help their clients would want to add this capability.
Yeah, and again, we see that in our customers. Smith & Howard customers traditionally been in the manufacturing, the construction, nonprofit, and a number of other kind of core markets. You know, what they're seeing is they're starting to see some of those markets, not a lot of regulation around it, not like you would see in healthcare and and finance. But they're starting to see more and more security issues coming up, even in the non-traditional markets. And so it's important that they, again, understand what they need to do. And that the other thing is just technology today. The new technologies you're seeing out there are some of the reasons that you're starting to see these things. Supply chains for manufacturing, for example, are now very automated, but it leaves another opening and an exposure into especially from a fraud standpoint, that you have to be really careful with. The IoT or industrial controls systems now are connected to the internet. So again, it's an exposure and vulnerability where somebody can take advantage of that. So like I said, these kind of core traditional industries are now starting to see more and more concerns that where, you know, we typically were seeing in things like healthcare, retail, and some of the financial technologies.
I know that folks may be thinking, you know, the firm like Smith & Howard been around a long time, deals with a lot of different businesses, small, medium, and large. Hey, if I'm a small, medium-sized business, I mean, it's really the large firms that are targeted, right?
Not anymore. That used to be the case where, you know, you'd see the banks and the corporate, the big Fortune 500. But I think the bad guys have started to figure out that it's a whole lot easier to get into the smaller firms. Yeah, you may not get as much information or as much money out of them, but there's a lot more of them out there. And so they're tired. So you see, you know, you start to see small hospitalities, everything from restaurants to hotels to small healthcare to just startups in general, being targeted because again, they aren't mature when it comes to a lot of their processes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's causing a lot of the problems is that lack of maturity, that lack of awareness and education on part of their employees are really the biggest vulnerabilities.
And what are the bad guys after? I mean, I know that may sound like an obvious question, but I think that may be what some small businesses are thinking, right? I mean, what are they after when they're coming after me?
Well, you know, for the most part, it's money.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of ways to get money. They could, the money could be a ransomware type of scenario where they're say, we're going to lock you out of your systems and you're going to pay us to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
It could be stealing intellectual property that they can sell that information to state or, you know, states like China and other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be employee information and for identity fraud purposes, and they can that all of that's on the black market and the dark web, and you can buy that, and like you could on eBay buy anything else. It's they've got their own types of websites they bid on all this stuff.
Wow, that's a little scary. So you mentioned ransomware. Let's talk about what that is and what the risks are there.
Well, ransomware is the kind of the latest new thing that seems to be popping up. And what it is, and it starts usually through an email. So they'll send an email out, and they may have done their homework already, and it may look like it's coming from your boss or your bank mm-hmm. or some legitimate organization with an attachment or a link. It says, click here on this. And when they do that, it injects some kind of a malicious software on your machine that goes in and starts to encrypt all of your data and locks it out. Then it sends you a little note saying, oh, by the way, we've locked your systems out. If you want it, you're going to pay us X number of bitcoins to get your data back. Unfortunately, you know, the FBI's usually their thing is don't pay the ransom. But a lot of companies end up doing that because they don't have any other choice. But there's no guarantee you're going to get all your data back, or they may keep a copy of it as well anyway and sell off what they can.
So if that happens to me, it's a little late to be calling you at that point, right?
We can do an assessment, but at that point it's more, you're looking more of a forensic type of scenario where we're going and figure out how they got in, what they took, what the damage is and what you need to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. Cause there's no guarantee they're not going to come back in 2 months and do it again.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's challenging too. And the other thing is people don't think it's not just the ransom because when you start thinking about, and this is what we try to do with business executives and owners is understand what the overall impact is. That's, you know, it's beyond just the ransom. It's how much downtime is your business got? How many customers are you going to lose? What does it do to your reputation? Your suppliers, and all of a sudden you've got canceled contracts. You've got suppliers that aren't going to no longer do business with you. That starts mounting up to hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. There was a call center organization actually a couple of months ago. I was reading about 300 employees. They got hit with ransomware. They shut their doors and laid everybody off because they had no choice. They could no longer do business.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of how far it goes. Typically, companies recover. But again, if you look at the costs, when you start looking at some of these counties and cities like Atlanta, you know, there's a lot of money that has to be spent to get back to where they were.
Sure. Yeah. And you mentioned Atlanta, the city of Atlanta. This happened to the city of Atlanta, right?
Yeah. There was millions of dollars to, and they chose not to pay the ransom, and that's fine. But There took a, you know, over a year and a lot of time and a lot of costs to help them get them back. And I, again, whether they got everything back, I don't know. So.
Folks, we're speaking with Jeff Brown, and he is a senior business advisor with Smith & Howard. So I don't want this to happen to my business, Jeff. So tell me what I need to do to protect myself. That's what you do, right?
Correct.
Yep.
There's a couple different things we do. One of the first things we do is sit down with the owners in the organization and understand their level of maturity with respect to how they're protecting the information. Do they have a formal security program? Do they have a designated chief security officer that's going to manage and control this thing? At that point in time, we'll evaluate and assess basically their governance, which is their policy layers, their organizational processes, and their technology to make sure that they're meeting all the requirements. Beyond that, then there's certain things that every organization needs to do. They need to be able to monitor what's going in and out of their network. If they don't have the resources to do that, then they need to hire an outside third party or a managed services company to do this. It's critical. If you don't know what's going in and out, you have no idea if you've been hacked already or you're going to be hacked. It's just simple as that. It's like not, you know, leaving your door open and not watching who's coming in and out. It's just not a good thing. The other one is you need to test your policies, test your procedures, test your technology on a regular basis to make sure you understand the vulnerabilities, that you're fixing the right things, that things are gone are the days where you could just throw a firewall and a piece of antivirus software in your systems and you feel secure. It's just not going to happen anymore. And then the third thing, and the most critical thing, is you have to educate your employees on their role and how to protect this information. Don't click on these types of emails. What to watch for. If somebody comes into your office, make sure you get your identification. Make sure that they've got an escort. And just do simple, what I call the common sense things, making sure that you're protecting this information about your company and your employees. And then take it home and how you protect your own personal information.
Sure. And I think that's what a lot of folks maybe don't really pick up on is that you can have the best procedures in the world, but your employees are partners in implementing those procedures. And one employee can really open the door to the bad guys.
Well, they call it the weakest link, and for a reason. You know, they got people, process, and technology. Mm-hmm. People are the weakest link because, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's somebody forgetting or to do something or doing something they shouldn't have been doing in the first place that has caused the problem. So,
folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Jeff Brown, and Jeff is senior business advisor with Smith & Howard. So what kind of assessment do you do? I mean, I've read the newspaper. I'm upset about what's going on. I want to make sure my business is safe. Talk a little bit about kind of how you engage with clients.
Part of that depends on the driver for that. So if you've have a customer or a vendor that's requiring you to have a certain certification, we'll go in and certify based on, for example, they call it a SOC 2, which is more for if you've got a publicly traded company that you're doing business with, they're going to say you need to do a SOC 2, which is a service organization type of compliance that you need to validate against. If you're dealing with financials, it could be PCI, payment card industry is validating against that. So, or HIPAA or height, you know, if it's healthcare, you know, we'll go in and we'll validate based on that standard to see if you're meeting those requirements. And in some situations we'll do the actual attestation or certification on that too. What's really valuable though is sitting down with a customer and looking at those threats and vulnerabilities that have been identified and translating those into financial impact to the organization. So we'll identify a list of threats from an IT's perspective that they have to be concerned about. We'll do an inventory of their assets and group that and add assign a value based on kind of what those assets are. And then look at it from the threats as a frequency and you know, the chances of occurrence, and then do what we call a quantitative risk analysis against that. And it comes back with a visual picture of what threats are going to be the biggest financial impact of their organization. So what it allows them to do is prioritize on what they need to do and when they need to do it, and what threats can they kind of push off or just say, you know what, I'll live with that.
Sure. And do you help folks with knowing the kind of expertise they ought to have internally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll come in, and part of that is understanding their makeup of their organization, what skill sets they have, what skill sets they're deficient in, what they're going to need, to the point where we've actually, you know, had to go in and say, help a company reorganize and say, well, their chief security officer actually needs to be a board level position and not report up through their CIO or their CFO because of the critical nature of the organization and the data. So, so we'll help them understand that. In some respects, we'll even help them, from a sourcing or at least setting up what this, you know, identifying skill sets that they need to be looking for.
Sure. Sure. Jeff, talk a little bit about the, the non-IT areas of security that folks need to be paying attention to that maybe you focus on, or do you have, is that part of your portfolio?
The non-IT? Well, from a perspective of that, part of all of these things from a security standpoint have physical security requirements mm-hmm. as well. So,
sure.
So things like having video monitoring at your facility, access control from a door stuff. So that comes into play with a lot of the standards that mm-hmm. we offer on that. Is there an IT play yet? Kind of ties back into IT from that perspective.
Ultimately it does. And how do you address, employers that, think, oh, you know, some of these things that you're recommending, I'm signaling to my employees, I don't trust them. I mean, you've got to run into that, right? The employers have that concern.
Yeah, and it's valid concern. Mm-hmm. There's a high percentage of breaches that were insider threat. And you have to, as part of that, you have to not only protect from the outside, you've got to validate the inside. And that's not mean watching every minute of the day, but you need to know internally whether or not people are doing the right thing. So you have technology and you have process that can identify when you've got behaviors that are outside the norm.
Sure.
And so that you can help adjust that. It's really important in like healthcare and some of these other areas because, you know, you get into HIPAA violations really quick when, say, a nurse was pulling information about a celebrity on a different floor that she had no business doing, and you hear that all the time.
Right.
And so it's something that, you know, they're very aware of as far as access of data, and it's a significant issue with different industries. But in general, from an owner standpoint, I think everybody wants to trust their employees. But a breach can happen internally, but it not necessarily be intentional, right? They can do something they're not supposed to do that causes someone to get their credentials, and now you've got an insider threat coming in right through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's watching the behavior inside as well as out. So,
and you mentioned something earlier in our conversation that I thought of, you know, I think makes a lot of sense and applies here, is part of what employers are protecting is employee information. So they're really protecting their employees, not just the business per se, right?
Yes, exactly. When people think about information they're protecting, they typically think of the things like PCI or healthcare information,
sure.
Credit cards. But you have to step back and say, what is sensitive information in my company that has a negative impact if it gets into the wrong hands, mm-hmm. right? That could be financial information. That's customer information. That could be employee data. We've seen that where a company got hacked. All they took was the HR database, and within 24 hours, they had fraudulent accounts opened up on a number of employees.
Wow.
You know, employees aren't very happy when they see them.
right.
And again, you potentially have HIPAA information as well, healthcare as far as your insurance benefits and stuff like that. So,
sure.
So there's a lot of different types of – and then you've got if you've got patent information or, you know, I'd call confidential information about how your processes uniquely do things, that information obviously has a huge impact if it gets into the wrong hands. So
the lesson is employees don't get – offended when your employer, when the company wants to button down the security loopholes that might be out there, right?
Well, I think, and the best way to do that is get the employees involved, mm-hmm. and educated, involved, and understanding that you know, again, their role in helping do that.
Sure. What kind of ongoing training do you recommend for businesses and their employees? Because things are changing all the time, right?
Right. A lot of these standards that we talk to are actually require you to do security awareness training. Mm. There's great CB or computer-based training programs out there that they can have. It kind of tells the employer not only that every employee's done the training, but kind of whether or not they've done it and they've passed, and or they need to do some remedial training so that you know where your weak points are. I encourage, and again, that should be done on a regular basis, at least once a year, and as well as onboarding, that everybody goes through that process and understands their role and what they need to be doing. And again, it has to be reinforced in the policies, right? So the policy says you need to do this. The training says this is how you need to do that. And so that there's an understanding and the employee knows what the, you know, the consequences are if you don't do that. So
now I know what, you know, business owners are notoriously cost conscious, right? And but maybe there's another aspect that here that I would think needs to come into play, and that is ultimately when they're looking to value their firm for sale, that having a great risk profile is going to help that valuation, right?
Oh, or it can kill it if it's not right.
Yeah.
We do Smith & Howard, we do a lot of M&A type assessments on the financial side, but mm-hmm. we also do them on the security side. And, you know, the biggest example everyone uses is the Yahoo one, right? You know, last thing you want to do is put your company up for sale and find out that you've got a huge security issue that devalues that company.
Now tell people more about that don't know that story.
Well, as we all know, Yahoo was they accepted our Verizon has decided to acquire the company, mm-hmm. and shortly after or before the deal had been consummated through that, it was identified that Yahoo had a security breach of millions and millions of records, and it really brought the price value of the company down, in that. So I think Verizon then. It had basically renegotiated a much lower price because of that. So you want to make sure that before you get into those negotiations that you've looked at your security risks within your organization, where your vulnerabilities are, to make sure that doesn't happen. We do a lot in the third – or see a lot in the third-party stuff where you've got companies you work with that are requiring – assessments or questionnaires or validations that you're meeting certain standards even before they do business with you.
Sure. Sure. Jeff, I got to shift gears here before we wrap it up and let you tell folks a little bit about your background, because you're no spring chicken on this stuff. You didn't just fall off the watermelon wagon, as it were. You've been around and you've seen a lot of things. So tell us people a little bit about your background.
Well, again, I moved into the Atlanta market back around 1987, was with a couple of large software companies back then and more in the IT world. And after about 2002, I had an opportunity to work with actually a Canadian security firm and built an operation here in Atlanta. We grew that business substantially over about 6 years, and then joined a partner firm of mine to work with them on forensics and more on the audit side around the payment card industry, mm. and that. And Spent a couple years there before they were acquired by a firm out of Duluth, Georgia here. And I spent about 9 years helped grow that company from other, I think the revenue was about $500,000 all up to about close to $10 million over that time frame.
Wow.
And so again, exciting times in the industry, but it's in that and helping a lot of companies in the Atlanta market, you know, meet their compliance obligations as well as improving their security. Done a lot of work with the state government as well, as far as helping their different departments and shoring up their security practices.
Yeah, and these are real risk. They're urgent needs, right? I mean, that a lot of folks don't see it maybe as urgent, but it really is given the nature of what's going on out there.
It is. Again, these risks can not only be a setback to your business, in some respects, it can put you out of business. So it's, you know, I get owners sometimes, you know, complaining about, why do I need to do this? You know, I don't want to do this. I want to spend the money, right?
Sure.
And that, and I usually ask them, I said, okay, you started this business. Would you have started it without liability or disaster insurance? He goes, well, no. I says, well, why are you taking this risk?
Right.
Because this one can take, put you out of business as well. Mm-hmm. And I understand the pain because, first of all, security people, the skill sets that we're talking to have this are expensive. And they're not very available right now. They're very, very rare. We're only graduating about 85 graduates out of computer science within the state of Georgia right now. And you've got things like the U.S. Army Command Center trying to hire 2,000 people down in Augusta. So it's challenging to find good talent, if you can find it. And if you do, you're going to pay for it. Right. So I certainly understand the dilemma that a lot of the small companies, and that's why I also recommend a lot of times it's better just to hire somebody to come in and help you put this together.
Sure. Sure. Well, Jeff, this has been great. Would love to figure out how we can get people in touch with you, and that requires you giving them some contact information, right?
Sure.
So put that out there for everybody.
All right. Well, you can get me at Smith & Howard. Our website's www.smith-howard.com. My email is just jbrown @smith-howard.com as well. I'm happy to answer any questions. If you've got things about you need to do or would like to have a conversation for us to at least come in and help you get a feel for kind of what kind of challenges you're up against.
This has been great. Jeff Brown. Jeff is a senior business advisor, important business advisor with Smith & Howard. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Folks, if you need some help curing some headaches that involve administrative tasks or bookkeeping, marketing, maybe you need a presentation prepared, I've got an answer for you. Go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And folks, just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30. And if you miss any of our live shows, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, even YouTube, but check out your favorite podcast app. I have yet to be stumped on a podcast app you can't find us on. Search for North Fulton Business Radio and you'll find us. Subscribe to us. Or if you want to listen online on your desktop, go to northfultonbusinessradio.com and find us there. And we've got a terrific archive of going on 200 shows. You can listen. You can search for a lot of great business leaders like Jeff that we have had on this show. Check us out on social media as well, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, all three of those platforms. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Jeff Brown, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.